Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You're having a great Thursday. It's Waddle and Sylvie back at you for a full show today.
Is it Thursday?
It's Thursday.
I forgot what day it was.
Is the week moving slow or fast for you?
I don't know.
I think it's moving fairly fast.
I guess so, yeah.
The news is flying.
Fast and it's furious.
George McCaskey on at 3 p.m. That's Can't Miss Stuff 1 hour from right now. I felt rushed yesterday. I felt like we're in the hurry-up offense
we were only on for an hour, and then we had Notre Dame basketball. So you've got 4 hours today to express yourself.
Like, there was so much to get out there. There was so much to play. There were so many phone calls to take. And I want to continue to do that today as we continue to digest what happened just over 24 hours ago. 312-332-3776. As if you needed any bit of a reminder, this is some of the stuff that went down at Hallis Hall with the Fantastic Four yesterday.
Brian and Matt are men of character. They are both, like Ted, outstanding leaders. I've been most impressed with how well they collaborate.
And we have exactly the right football culture. Excuse me, that all teams strive for. The contracts haven't been part of our discussions. It's not a concern with anyone, and when we show improvements, contracts will take care of themselves.
But Ryan, with all due respect, we do know the terms of the players' contracts. I'm just asking when they expire. I don't care what you make or anything like that.
And to me, Hub, that's just a non-factor in anything we're doing. I understand why you're asking it, but to me, it's just all about what's best for the team. And without getting into contract durations or any specifics.
The reality is, if you break his tenure from 15 to 17 and then 18 to 20, there have been vast improvements in 18 to 20. And a lot of that has to do with the trust level that's been built between Matt and Ryan, how they make decisions. You can ask Ryan and Matt. Can ask Ryan yourself if he has had learnings from his first 3 years to his last three. I think you'll hear that he has. That's what we heard. I'm not going to get into the specifics.
But we just feel confident going into the off season that Matt and Ryan can do what's necessary to get the players we need to be successful.
Everyone has an opinion on how to get there. And that's okay.
No, that's not my question. It's not about meddling in the actual football, like on the field. I think the criticism is that you are judging the coach and general manager, and I think people feel that the Bears need people more rooted in football to make that decision.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yeah. That's a valid criticism. My performance is evaluated by ownership and the board. And that's how that process works.
Ryan and Matt have the ability, and it's not easy, to self-reflect, to understand where we've fallen short and where we can make improvements. To me, that is being accountable.
There you go. Now you got your chorus.
Sing my song.
Yeah.
I will say this as well. And Ted, this was weird yesterday when he divided up Matt. Excuse me, Ryan's tenure. So what would it have been? 2015, 16, and 17, and then 18, 19, and 20?
Yeah, it's basically the 3 years of Fox and the 3 years of Nagy.
Okay, that's great. Had you collaborated with John Fox before the 2017 draft? And this is not an endorsement of my buddy Foxy in any way, shape, or form. I'm just pointing this out. If collaboration is so very important, had you collaborated with Foxy if you were Ryan Pace, maybe you would have drafted Deshaun Watson because he's the guy that Foxy and Dow Loggins and everybody else had identified as the right guy to pick.
Right. They did.
Am I right?
And it's the process, and we've always pointed that out. You could get it right with the wrong process. You could get it wrong with the right process. I just want the process to be run the right way. That's I always circle back. Do they do the process of these things the right way?
Well,
it was completely wrong.
Well,
that
and my point again is like if because yesterday the theme to me was about collaboration, and I made the statement yesterday in our shortened show that it's like conviction. You draft with conviction, fantastic. Draft with confidence, and I'm more excited. You know, it's you can collaborate with people and get along. You may sit in a room and you guys see everything the same way, and we're collaborating. And you make a horrible decision. How valuable is collaboration if ultimately the result of your collaboration isn't advancing your cause? So my point is when they spent so much time yesterday talking about collaboration and how it's such a vital component to the relationship that exists between Matt and Ryan, the truth is had you decided to collaborate with your previous coaching staff, you may not find yourself where you are with regard to your inability to solve your quarterback problem, because if you had listened to some of your coaches and collaborated with them, you may not have advanced to the Super Bowl, but you wouldn't find yourself in quarterback hell again.
Right, exactly. Well, exactly. And I want to start when we talk to George, like my biggest thing, and we both were in agreement when we were talking about some of the questions we're going to throw at him, is after the fallout. And I've never seen, you know how hard it is, Waddle, to get Chicago sports fans to agree on anything. Yeah. Anything. Like, it took forever for these Hall of Fame people to be unanimously selected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. We used to joke about that. We once did a poll question, do you like money? And it wasn't 100%.
Right.
It was as close to being unanimous that people were so down on the message that was being portrayed. And I want to know from George, after, and George does care about at least what the fans think. He goes to the parking lot. I started the show yesterday by saying I've defended George, and I want to apologize for that because maybe he's not interested in winning. And that's another thing that I want to get into with him. But he does go to the parking lots and care what the fan has to say. And when the fans have been nearly universal, when the analysts locally and nationally have been nearly universal, that yesterday was a cluster, you know what, that does he have any regrets over what they put together? I mean, you heard that.
No, I'm with you. That's the first thing that I wrote down as well. Does he have any regrets with regard to the message that they conveyed yesterday? They would have been better off, as many have said, and I think you said it as well, just to release a statement and say, we failed, we came up short. But we feel the best way to get back on track is to remain unified for one more year. You would have caught... Listen, you were never going to win that press conference. You know, as we talk about winning press conferences, they were never going to win that press conference because their decision was not approved or liked by the vast majority of Bears fans. So if you come to a conclusion that is going to not be one that all of your fans are happy with, you're never going to win that press conference. But you can, I think, come away looking worse based on how you handled that press conference, and I think that's exactly what happened.
I want to know from you guys what your greatest hit was from that press conference. Can I play?
I got one.
Let me start. I want to, because this gets under my craw, and a lot of people are making fun of it. Can we play the Phillips part from the second line black, the short 8-second clip? This, you know, and you know how I feel about Ted, that this is a guy who's been in his role for 21 years as the team president. And George has been defending that, well, the team president doesn't get involved in football. But Ted is clearly involved in these decisions whether or not to keep Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Ted is clearly involved with the hiring and firing of these guys. And when you continue to not win consistently, those processes are flawed as well. So this was Ted Phillips from the press conference yesterday.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
That's the best thing. It's the best thing ever. You tell me in football, when
highlight.
You don't have the quarterback and you don't have winning, What the hell do you have?
You have culture.
Well, you have culture, and then I'd like to point out to George that your culture that you're raving about produced another ejection from the playoff game against the Saints. It was another wide receiver after the first time you played the Saints when a wide receiver got kicked out of that game for retaliating against the same player and suspended for two games. And then they repeated the same mistake in a more important game when you're already shorthanded at wide receiver and you struck against that same team and same player. How does that illustrate even a good culture?
Well, this is why, and that was my same highlight from the press conference, because when you acknowledge that you haven't gotten the quarterback position right, you haven't won enough games, you have obviously those are the two most important criteria for building a winning program, and that admission in itself would lead you to expect some sort of change. This is why I said to you, like, they should have just released, I think you said it yesterday, they just should have released a statement. Yeah. Because what they did was they spent 90 minutes trumpeting in a positive way things that you can go through and knock down very easily.
Right.
Like, you're talking about collaboration, but collaborating on bad decisions or collaborating and coming to bad decisions. You talk about culture, the things that you just mentioned. You talk about having, you know, the right answers.
Chris, can you play that one more time?
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
What is everything else?
Well, I don't even understand the way he says the quarter. Have we gotten the quarterback position completely right? What do you mean completely right? You have completely failed is what you've done as an organization at quarterback. The list of guys who you have brought in is a complete failure. And what does that mean? That you've sort of gotten it right? You haven't sort of gotten it right. You are right now. You have no answers at that position going into 2021.
Yeah, and listen, this is why I just said, I mean, like, you took a situation where I think universally Bears fans are unhappy, and you made them even more unhappy by some of the comments that you made.
Right, and that's why I said what I said yesterday. Some people used it in a tweet as their own hours and hours later.
Was it Jonathan Hood?
Was it Hood?
I got a story
Carmen?
To share with you later,
was
too.
Was it Yurko?
Yurko?
Meller?
Connor McKnight?
Connor McKnight, new edition.
Shout out to him. I don't know Connor well.
I just met him earlier.
He's a good
fantastic
dude.
Fantastic young man.
I listened to his interview. He is the new pre- and post-game host, White Sox weekly host, right here on ESPN 1000. Used to work down the dial. He's also going to do 25 play-by-play games. We announced that on Carmen and Yurko.
Very talented young man.
Connor's going to find out what we all know. Working here is working at a great
except
great
when
place.
Randy Merkin's got you pinned in the corner talking to you about Badger football.
Oh, did Merkin steal your thoughts?
Was it Merkin? No, Connor is a Wisconsin grad as well.
Well, I walked back there and Merkin was recapping every Super Bowl party from the last 10 years. He was like, well,
oh,
this
really?
Is what we
with
did.
Connor?
Yeah. Hey, this is what you're missing.
Is that part of the onboarding?
Yeah. We're going to have to take a pause.
In or out to the Super Bowl party.
There's got to be a pause this year, so you're going to have to wait till next year. So.
Yeah. But that's what I said. We would have hammered George for not speaking. If they would have released from the desk of George McCaskey, you know, 1920 Hallis Drive, Football Drive, whatever it's called. I always get it wrong, their address. Lake Forest, Illinois. We are announcing today that we will retain Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace in the 2021 football season. We want to be better, but we have faith in our coach and general manager. End of story. And we would have hammered them for, quote, not being accountable, but we would not have hammered them as much as we would have after what we saw yesterday. Yesterday, in my opinion, I think Waddle's in agreement, was the worst possible look that you could have had.
Yeah, I mean, I said to you yesterday, I thought it started off on a very high note. I thought George spoke impressively and importantly about, you know, all of the people that helped make an NFL season even happen. But it's the walk and chew gum conversation. After that, you also have to tell me why you've decided to take the path that you've taken, and for those reasons. And it felt like to me that they spent 90 minutes basically applauding things that really don't matter as much as wins and losses.
Yeah. All right. So let's take some calls coming up. 332-3776. George McCaskey will be Can't Miss Radio at 3 o'clock.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I think our poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. You can vote on my Twitter handle at Waddle and Sylvie is something that we should relay to George as well. Asking Bears fans, will the Bears get it right in 2021? All right, so they're bringing everyone back. You got to go get the quarterback. They got to win. Will they get it right? And we've already had in 20 minutes nearly 2,500 votes. And it's 91% saying no.
Well, 91. I mean, again, what would lead you to vote yes? To get it right means you have to find the quarterback and you have to win more games than you have been. What have you seen recently that leads you to believe that you should answer yes, they will get it right? You know, it's funny, too. I was talking to Chris briefly in the break and I said, look, the nuance of evaluating your football team takes nuance. You can't just look at 2019 and 2020 and say, we were 8-8, we were 8-8, we got to the postseason, we lost, so we were 8-9, so we were 16-17, it's not a dumpster fire. Okay, it's not a dumpster fire. But if you use nuance to look at those two seasons, what do you see? And we've talked about this a lot.
A lot.
You see them losing to better teams, and in most instances, the discrepancy between you and those better teams is significant. You can look at the teams that they played in 2019. We went through this 1,000 times. The quarterbacks that they beat. You also see the margin of defeat when they face better teams. It's highlighted by the Green Bay Packers. So when you walk into a room and say, well, guys, listen, it's not that bad. We were 500 last year and we were 500 in the regular season this year. But if you go inside the numbers and you look at those losses and you use nuance, you can come to the conclusion that 8-8 in 2019, as I said 1,000 times, felt and looked more like 6-10.
And the quarterback in Seattle today, they're saying that was disappointing. Our offense was awesome for the first 10 to 12 games. Then we couldn't score.
They fired
their OC.
Then
we lost. Then we lost in the first round. Yeah. Right. They fired their OC too. But like they regroup and they say, you know what though? We have Russ. The problem here is, and it's been the problem for 101 years, they don't have the quarterback. When you don't have the quarterback, you don't have anything. Alex in South Carolina, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, everybody. I hope y'all can hear me. Yeah, I'm calling from Clemson. And I don't think I've ever been more disgusted in my life since listening to a Butch Jones press conference my grandpa went to Tennessee. And literally, I mean, they might as well have said champions of life. I mean, they're talking about a culture where it's okay to punch players on the field. It's okay to not always show up to practice. All we hear about is how Anthony Miller is the last guy in, kind of, you know, diva like he's Randy Moss and we can afford for Anthony Miller to not worry about the playbook. Don't worry, just send him on a go route and he'll catch it. Now, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they're treating us like we're all a bunch of simpletons. And that's the thing that makes me the most mad, is that we have a fan base going all across the country. Heck, I'm a Bears fan, you know, here in Clemson, South Carolina. Everybody's making fun of me. I mean, one time on draft night, I got drunk off my butt and people knew who I was because they said, and I quote, nobody else in Clemson, South Carolina is rocking the Jay Cutler jersey. I mean, at the end of the day, we've got to get it right. George, if you're listening, bud, we all love the Bears. We just want what's best. Yes. People are only upset because you're peeing on our leg and telling us that it's raining. And we're not R. Kelly. We don't like it. Thank you guys so much.
Rack him.
That was awesome. Great call, Alex. James and Gurneen, are you finally there, James? I went to you yesterday, and you weren't ready to go. What's the deal with my guy?
I'm sorry, man. I'm ready now. Check it out. So I'm an HVAC maintenance tech. So I'm downstairs in the basement. I look over to the left. I see a picture of this gentleman's house. I'm not going to mention his name, but his kid. And guess who they're getting an autograph from? Good old number 6. So I strike up a conversation with this gentleman, and it's just, well, having all this is about some anger yesterday, and some, I might as well put the super fans in there yesterday. I might as well put the 4 super fans up there. But having said that, it's still football. While you know this, I played football all the way through high school, so there's nothing like it. Like war with your buddies. There's nothing like it. Nothing compares to it. If you haven't played it, or if you only played football on the weekends with your buddies in the snow, there's nothing that compares to American football in my mind. So that's my point, is it's like, no matter what happens, it's still the Bears. So it's just sad because come next season, I'm going to get fired up as much as all this stuff is going to hurt. And it's frustrating, and it's like they're condescending. It's almost like they know it. And that's what makes it worse. It's football. There's nothing like it. I miss it. I tell you, I miss peewee football through high school football more than I miss anything else. Riding my bike, hanging out. High school football was just awesome. And Waddle, you can know where I'm coming from.
It's my favorite time. Well, I mean, listen, James, we're on the topic of football. My favorite moments were high school football. My favorite football moments are all high school related.
Right. But his point is, we'll all be back for more. And many people have said, hey, I'm going to boycott, or should I boycott? And look, there's only 16 of these every single year. Only 16. We put all this talk into a season. We spend 6 weeks in training camp. Are they going to be good? Are they not going to be good? Who's hurt? Who's looking good? What's going on? And in a blink of an eye, these 16 games go quickly. And then we wait all damn winter, and we wait all damn spring and the beginning part of the summer for them to report again. And we're all going to be reinvigorated, and we're all going to want to see what they've got. And I'm just scared that in a year from now, we're going to be exactly like Dan Weider said, the roller coaster. We're going to get off at the same place that we started.
And my concern is, I've issued this as a concern for several days now, is that if you want to remain status quo as they have, and you have the 20th pick in the first round, you don't have a top 10 pick, you don't have a lot of cap flexibility, what are you going to do to make that improvement if you're Matt and you're Ryan to improve your job security? You're going to make decisions in a lot of ways that help bolster your position in the organization that may not be best for the organization 3, 4, 5 years out. How in the world are they going to get significantly better next year? Right. You've got to find a quarterback. You don't draft high enough for it. Or let's say that Ryan decides to give up the next 3 first round picks to move up somewhere. Like, are you comfortable with that if you're George? Because you've gone through this process before, and it hasn't worked. So isn't there some trepidation about some of the big decisions that are possibly going to be made by a group now that needs to prove to you that they can improve
drastically?
That's a
really good point. Well, let me give you the flip side of exactly what you just said. Let's say the Bears could go get Deshaun Watson.
Do it.
Let's say you can give up 3 or 4 first-round picks and get him. And everyone deems that to be the case. But now your president and your owner says, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't know if you're going to be here for the long term. You can't mortgage our future. What if there's the chance to make that grand move that would be the right move, but they don't want what you just said to happen, where a guy who could only be in the chair for a year or two mortgage the future? Well, both can work against you.
You're right, but like if you bring in me Fitzy, okay, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's one thing. You're not more. If you bring me Deshaun Watson, I would hope that the family and the powers that be up at Hallis Hall.
I told you the story that back in the day they had a chance to get LaDainian Tomlinson. Ted would not let Mark Hatley go up and get him because the signing bonus was too rich.
I gotcha. I'm just. You're right. You're right to be skeptical.
You're trusting them with all of this. You're arguing common sense, Waddle.
Yeah, no, maybe I checked that at the door.
Yeah, Mac in California. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mac?
Oh, hey guys, what's going on? I was thinking last night. So they lose the press conference. It was terrible. Who cares? But this is the same organization that, you know, missed out on Bruce Arians in part when they insulted him by trying to force him to do that mock press conference. And so clearly they care about the press conference and they prioritize these things. And for them to
to come
that's a good point.
For that to be their product is kind of disturbing. It's an indictment.
Ironic. Yeah, you're right about that. They love the mock press conference. And the story goes that Bruce Arians, who was the reigning coach of the year after he took over for Pagano in Indy, him and Trestman were the finalists, and they wanted to do the mock press conference. And Arians didn't want to do it, and it was one of the reasons why they went with Trestman. And here they are, you know, getting the mock press conference right. They can't get the real press conference right. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, so I just thought that was so. And one last thing is obviously they stopped the 6-game losing streak, and you know we've gone over that, we've mocked that, but they didn't stop the 4-game losing streak, and they didn't stop the 5-game losing streak. You know, and they had opportunities. Yeah, they're coming off the bye and they no-showed against the Packers. You know, Detroit was a disaster. I mean, Adam Gase, he stopped a 13-game losing streak, right? And he had a 2-game winning streak after that. He got fired. So I thought it was just silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's another example, Mac. It's another example of where the press conference, based on a lot of people's opinions, went sideways. You talked about collaboration, but a lot of collaboration on bad ideas. And they emphasized winning 3 games against teams that were collectively 12-26, I believe I did the 12-36, rather, when they beat the Texans, the Vikings, and the Jags. And that was more of a defining moment than the actual 6-game losing streak against better teams. Like, which moment or which stretch defines you more as a team? Is it the 6-game losing streak against better competition, or this 3-game win streak against lesser competition? I think that's a backwards way to look at this.
It is. They're flaunting the 6-game losing streak, in essence. All right, more of your phone calls coming up. George McCaskey, Can't Miss Radio at 3 o'clock.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're 25 minutes away from the interview with George McCaskey, the chairman of the Bears. He's been on the show frequently. But we're
all restless. To him more frequently than we speak to the GM.
Oh, have we had Ryan Pace on the show?
I don't believe so. Not in several years.
I don't know if we ever have. I think he's always going on Cap Show.
Matt has joined us on several occasions.
Yes, Matt's been on with us.
From Bourbonnais.
I think Ryan feels like the trust tree is from 7 to 10. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
George may not want to talk to you going forward after speaking in with you at 3.
Should we sell to him that we should be the new coach and general manager?
Well,
you and I have collaborated for the last 14 years. Well,
yeah, and like I said to, I think, well, who was it? It was somebody.
14 years.
Yeah, and right. And the same stupid decisions are made daily by us, even though we're collaborating.
Here's everyone had fun with this. I read an article from Kevin Fishbane on The Athletic. He used the collaboration stuff. And then WGN Morning News. Those guys are awesome. I think it's Yurko's favorite television show. They had some fun with all the collaboration the Bears did.
I've been most impressed with how well they collaborate.
They point to the ability to overcome adversity, the need to adapt to challenges, the need to have a collaborative working environment.
And you're going to hear this word a lot today because it's true, is collaboration, the collaboration that Matt and I have.
What we've done in the past couple of years together, there's conviction and there's collaboration to dig in and reflect and say why.
When you can collaborate.
I think it's the way they collaborate. We think that their collaboration will result in the right decisions. The leadership, the collaboration, the adaptability, again, the collaboration.
It's the collaborative relationship that Matt and I have.
So when you look at the whole product and the collaboration,
it's a collaborative effort.
Again, I've told you about the collaboration and nothing's changed there. So it's been a great collaboration.
I know we keep on using the word collaborative, but it's so real.
It's like they went to a cheesy marketing group, and again, thanks to WGN Morning News for that.
You're not calling them a cheesy marketing group.
That was awesome.
No.
It's like they went to some sort of like, hey, we got to go to like marketing 101. What should we do? Hey, I think we should use the buzzword collaboration as much as possible.
I would have felt better if they all pointed the finger at one person. Like if everyone was like, oh, no, that's Ryan's fault. Like
it's Ryan's fault.
He stunk. And Matt steps in and goes, I wanted to do this, but Ryan made me do that. Or Ted said, you know what? This is definitely, I mean, like the whole concept of collaboration, it's
Pace
just
saying, look, what do you expect when you don't run the football and cut the field in half for Mitch? We found out he wasn't the guy. I effed up, but at least let's coach him up as to what we know. But they collaborate well
together. When you collaborate on decisions that turn out to be bad decisions, doesn't that undermine the importance of collaboration?
Yes.
Sylvie, when your sons are causing trouble, creating mischief,
They're collaborating.
If they collaborate, is the punishment less because they collaborated together to figure out whatever they were trying, whatever scheme they're trying to put together?
Chris, the only way they collaborate is Braxton's foot in Mason's face and then Mason's fist in Braxton's face.
The collaboration?
That's
a nice
collaboration. They collaborate that
it's
way.
A collaboration.
Right.
And at the end of the day, they're both 8-8.
Scott in Sugar Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Scotty.
Waddle, Sylvie, good afternoon, you guys.
Hey. Good afternoon.
So I'm just one of the thousands of really insulted Bears fans today, man. George, you know what, man? This is what happens when you get a storied franchise and it's run by a snout-nosed little trust fund baby who doesn't know nothing about football. He could care less about the fans' happiness. You know, look at the ticket prices that the Bears are charging. They're the highest in the league, and they're trying to pass off that these last couple years are collaborative, good, and it's a joke, man. You know, it's a joke. Palace is probably rolling over in his grave right now, man. And, you know, and George, I hope he's listening. No one's going to come to these games. No one's going to support the team as long as Nagy and Pacer ahead of the clown show.
Scott, one thing.
Yeah.
And I love your passion, but you know that's not true. You know the end part of your statement is not true.
Only eight home games.
There will be 61,500 people as soon as they allow full capacity into Soldier Field.
Do you think so? Even after the years like with Trestman and that joke, people stop going, Sylvie.
Not in September.
Tickets will be sold.
Yeah.
It's sad but true. I guess you guys are right. I guess I'm talking out to my rear end a little bit. But you know what? I'm just so pissed off because, you know what? He could care less. He could honestly care less. Ted Phillips could care less because he's getting paid too to do nothing. And you know what? It's just a sad show. You know, George should be in politics because he really has no touch.
I'll say this, Scott. I'm going to ask George the question about that. I don't agree with your assessment. I'm not trying to change your mind, and I'm not looking for people to agree with me. I think this is about making wrong decisions and not financially motivated. But I will ask that question for you and others about whether or not the decisions that are being made to stand pat and not make change or your inspiration for change, whether or not it is motivated by money or the fact that the asset is worth so much that it doesn't matter if you win or lose. So I'll ask George about that.
George, coming up at 3, Parrish in Lake in the Hills. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Parrish?
Hey, thanks, Waddle. Thanks, Sylvie. Love you guys' show, man. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate
you guys.
Thank you.
You know, I've been listening pretty much all week.
Let's put Parrish back on hold. Clear it up. I want to get back to him.
Yeah.
Let me go to Michael in Algonquin. Michael, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've been listening to you guys, and you're all very passionate football fans, right? I feel like the perspective in Lake Forest is more of a business culture. I think the Bears have never stuck their necks out on high-priced players, except for Khalil Mack, which I was shocked when they did it. I'm a Packer fan, grew up by Green Bay. Sitting back and looking, I don't remember a time besides Mack that they stuck their nose out and went and spent a ton of money on players, because I feel like even if it's subconsciously, they're fine with making small moves because they're about the business end. They're making money either way. And
But Michael, they gave Jimmy Graham $9 million guaranteed. They gave Robert Quinn $30 million guaranteed. They put $100 million into a new facility up where they're at. They didn't have to do that. They could have continued to put that money, so to speak, down there into their pockets. They didn't.
I don't feel like they're being stingy with their money. They don't know how to plug in the right people.
Okay, well, that's a different conversation, and I agree with you there. That's why I bristle when we get to this conversation about money, and maybe I'm in the minority. I don't agree with the assessment that a lot of the decisions that they make or their decisions not to make change is based on money. They've spent a ton of money, and we've spent a ton of time highlighting where they've spent their money. You can just argue that they don't consistently spend their money the right way for the right things that help propel them to more consistent success. That's my perspective.
I agree with you, and that's probably the point I'm trying to make, is that it seems like they throw money in this direction because they need that help immediately. We throw it over here. There's no cohesive systemic plan to build a football team. And
that's different. Yeah. Thank you.
That's a different criteria.
Thanks, Mike. Yep. All right. 312-332-3776. We are exactly 15 minutes away from when we talk to Bears chairman George McCaskey.
Now that you have a new health plan, you should plan to use it. Find helpful tips and more help at GetCoveredIllinois.gov. Your health coverage starts here.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we're less than 15 minutes away, about 10 minutes from right now. We'll talk to the Bears chairman, George McCaskey. A lot of calls continue to come in, a lot of thoughts from Bears fans. Bears fans aren't happy. Over 90% of you are voting that the Bears won't get it right in 2021. Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, Ted Phillips, everyone stays where they've been. Business as usual. Let's go to Ross in Madison. Hey, Ross, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, guys? Now, this is just a theory, and I hope I'm right about it, but I've been listening ever since Cap and Jay Hood this morning. I haven't heard anybody say it, but it seems obvious to me. It doesn't make any sense to fire Nagy and Pace now when they know they're going to have cap casualties. Our team's going to take a step back. They don't think they're going to do very well, obviously. I think McCaskey knows these guys will be able to give us a tank year next year, so we'll have a better draft position. We'll be able to get a better quarterback. As long as they don't let Pace draft the quarterback this year, I think that's the plan, but he just can't come out and say that. What do you guys think?
Ross, we had a caller who brought that up yesterday, but you're going to have these decisions being made on who's going to be the quarterback this offseason. Why wouldn't you, even if you're tanking, rebuilding, why wouldn't you want to get a new mind on it if that's the direction you want to go, the sooner rather than later?
Well, yeah, that's where my theory is contingent on them not letting him draft a quarterback. I'm thinking since they're drafting so late in the first round, they'd maybe focus on offensive linemen and, you know,
Ross, if you're allowing them to make these decisions and your full intentions are to replace them the following year, why wouldn't you give a new set of eyes and a new set of ears an opportunity to unwind things a year early?
Well, I just figured it makes sense to me because of where our draft position is. We're going to lose a bunch of players. It seems more of a desirable job next year after we see where we're at. Who wants to come into this mess we're at now? We have no quarterback of the future. We're not going to draft a good one in this draft. We have a million holes to fill unless we trade for Watson, which is going to, sell the farm. It doesn't seem like a good spot to come to a year later, it will be better.
But what if they're 8-8 again next year?
Well, Well, let's hope that ain't the case.
Well, I know, but maybe, that's my point. But that's who they, I mean, they have proven to you over the course of the last several years that they're tremendously average, tremendously mediocre.
I agree.
So, all right, Ross.
I'm not trying to poo-poo it. I'm just saying that
you're not the only one, Ross. Right. I've heard that before. But again, like this notion, I rage against the notion. Don't draft a quarterback this year. You're picking number 20. Next year, you'll have a better chance. Number one, we know there have been quarterbacks drafted, whether it be late in the first round, like Lamar Jackson, or whether it be in the third round, like Russell Wilson, who turn out to be all world. Mm-hmm. What if Mac Jones falls? What if Mac Jones is the answer? What if everyone loves him at that spot? And you say no because we must draft this position. Like, I don't ever want to close off any different avenues because that could be the year you get it right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it sounds to me like they are not going to put any restrictions on Matt or Ryan in terms of doing their jobs the way that they want to do them.
Tom in Maryville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect.
Okay, great. Listen, I just got a real short thing I want to say. I've been a Bear fan for, I don't know, like 45 or 50 years. This is going the same way it happened before the Cubs got sold. Okay? We need to find a couple guys with some cash. Die-hard Bear fans. Ricketts bought the Cubs. 4 or 5 years later, we got a World Series. Okay? I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk about it.
I personally think the impetus for the Cubs doing what they did in with regard to the World Series, you may say it started with Tom Ricketts buying the team, but it was Tom Ricketts actually finding a way to hire the best baseball mind that there was out there.
Well, they restructured the organization, too.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that
they moved Craig Kenny into business ops.
And then they hired a baseball president and let Theo bring in his general manager and Jed Hoyer from San Diego. And again, Rocky, and it's something that why I would tell Ted, I mean, not Ted, why I would tell George why I've been on this, that it starts with that this is, to me, this is bigger than just bringing back Ryan and Matt. This has been a 35-year thing. This has been, like, I wrote some of their records. Waddle, like the Packer record is incredible. You know they've lost 9 out of 10 to the Packers, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back long before Matt. And I believe that's because of the way the team is being run. And why hasn't he looked into restructuring this? Why does he continue to rinse and repeat? So those are all things.
Well, you got 3, 4, or 5 minutes away from being able to ask that question.
Yeah, yeah. Also, you know, it was interesting. Someone, Landon, tweeted us, and he said that Ted Phillips, on the day that John Fox was fired in 2018, said, quote, "We didn't win enough games in a results-oriented business." Like, it's convenient to say in a results-oriented business 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but now to say, hey, we haven't gotten the quarterback right and we haven't gotten the wins, but...
I told you Monday I was concerned that their likability was going to be an enormous factor in the decision made about their job status.
You were all over that. And again, they are nice guys.
They are. Both of them are really fantastic. Nice.
I don't want them running my football team. You know, and it's no hate.
It's the separation of church and state. You can identify them as wonderful guys, and they are. But you also have to grade them based on their performance in their roles. So it is what it is.
Yep. Phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. We got a lot going on today. So not only are we going to get you George here in about 3 or 4 minutes, but we've got Lewis Riddick on. A lot of people have said we want Lewis Riddick to be the next Bears general manager. What does he think about them keeping him? He's going to be joining us at 4 o'clock. We got Will Bond today. So much to get to. George McCaskey, the Bears chairman, answers our questions in 2 short minutes.